Okay, so Lyndon B. Johnson has this problem. How's he going to defeat the Viet Cong? The Viet Cong, remember, are rebels in South Vietnam. Now, the people they're rebelling against, the generals who run South Vietnam after the death of Diem, aren't nice guys. They're not great guys. They're out for themselves. They're out to make money. Nobody likes them. But LBJ would rather have them than communists run the country. Because if Vietnam goes, according to the domino theory, a lot of other countries could go as well. And so he doesn't want Asia turning into a huge, big part of the communist empire. So he has to back these military dictators against the Viet Cong. Well, the Viet Cong are doing pretty well against the South Vietnamese army. The South Vietnamese army was pretty useless. And this is a guerrilla war. These guys, the Viet Cong, they're hiding in the jungles. They're launching raids. They're launching commando attacks. It's not an all-out war. So LBJ came up with the idea that he was going to increase pressure on the north. And so what he began to do was begin to bomb. He came up with a plan that would involve dropping bombs on the north, that would involve commando raids into the north. But before any of this could get underway, there was something called the Gulf of Tonkin incident in August of 1964. LBJ's plan had involved US destroyers getting really close to North Vietnam. So US destroyers and battleships were patrolling near the North Vietnamese waters. Now remember, Vietnam split in two, North Vietnam, South Vietnam. South Vietnam's on America's side, North Vietnam, communist. But America's getting up really close and personal. It's really getting into North Vietnam's face. The Gulf of Tonkin incident, what happened was is a couple of North Vietnamese patrol boats decided to show the Americans what they thought of them. And they fired a couple of torpedoes at the USS Maddox, which was a destroyer in the area. A few days later, the American government claimed that another American boat, the Sea Turner Joy, had also been targeted. Now, since 2005, we know that was a lie. That never happened. They made that up. Because LBJ was looking for an excuse to go in and to go in hard. And so he went to Congress and they passed something called the Tonkin Resolution. And that basically said to Johnson, you can fight this war whatever way you see fit. Now, unfortunately, what Americans did not do was declare war. They basically just said, listen, you can do whatever you want in South Vietnam. Gulf of Tonkin Resolution said you can do whatever you want in South Vietnam. You don't have to come to us again. You don't have to ask permission from us again. Mr. President, go nuts. Do whatever you like. But because they didn't declare war on North Vietnam, it meant that professional American soldiers weren't allowed and weren't used in battle all that much. They tended to remain in Europe. So the guys who had volunteered, the guys who had, when they were sitting in careers day in high school and said, you know, what do you want to be when you leave school? Oh, I'd like to be an American soldier. Well, here's the application form. Those guys were off being professional soldiers in Germany. Whereas the majority of people who went to fight in Vietnam would be conscripts. So you go into your school careers advisor and he'd say, what would you like to be? And you'd say, well, you know, I'd like to go out, I'd like to be a doctor, or I'd like to be a dentist. And the careers advisor would say, well, that's nice, but you're going to join the army for 2 years first and have to go and fight a war in Vietnam. You're conscripted. And so people would be conscripted and sent off to Vietnam. At the start of the war, actually, if you said, I want to be a doctor, they would say, are you rich? Yes, well, you can go be a doctor. If you said, well, you know, I'd like to be a doctor or an engineer or a car mechanic, are you poor? Yes, well, sorry, you don't get a choice. You're conscripted. You're going to South Vietnam. Conscripts tended to come from poor communities. Blacks were disproportionately represented because they tended to come from the poor communities. They had no way of getting out. Whereas if you went to university, you could get out of being drafted. This is one of the issues. So all these American soldiers ended up going into South Vietnam. The reason they ended up going there was because LBJ and his advisors came up with this plan called Operation Rolling Thunder. Operation Rolling Thunder was really the codename for bomb the crap out of North Vietnam. So the Americans basically decided that they were going to launch massive bomb attacks in North Vietnam. Operation Rolling Thunder would kill over 52,000 North Vietnamese. The effect on North Vietnam was horrendous. But when you can't launch that many bombers from aircraft carriers, you have to have land bases. So they built air bases in South Vietnam from which to launch Operation Rolling Thunder. But if you're going to launch planes, you got to have troops to protect those bases. So they decided to send over troops to protect the bases. And then the guy in charge, a guy called General Westmoreland, said, well, look, if we've got troops to protect the bases, they might as well be doing other stuff. You know, they might as well be going out and fighting the Viet Cong. And the Americans decided that they were going to pursue this war on the land. The plan was twofold. A, bomb the hell out of the North until the North want to surrender. Two, kill as many Viet Cong as possible. The idea was that you would kill so many Viet Cong that they couldn't be replaced. And so the Americans decided to go on these search and destroy missions, where troops would go out looking for Viet Cong bases and kill as many Viet Cong as they could, until the Viet Cong would lose the will to fight. So the idea here wasn't that you're going to take over the North. If the Americans had invaded the North, well, what would have happened then is that China, its next door neighbour, was going to fight back, and Russia might fight back. You would end up with a Third World War. So invading North Vietnam was never an option. They couldn't do that. And if you remember back to Korea, when America had gone into North Korea and got too near China, the Chinese had sent millions of troops south. And so what that did is that, you know, that pushed America into a war that they couldn't win. So they wanted to avoid that. So they're just going to use air power in the North. They're just going to bomb the North until the North loses the will to fight. And you're going to kill as many Viet Cong as possible, until the Viet Cong want to give up and the North want to give up. And so the whole thing's going to fall apart. There was a lot of talk about kill ratios. What they did is there were a lot of guys sitting with wee charts and graphs and pie charts, and they were looking to see, well, you know, for every one American soldier that's killed, we want to kill 20 or 30 Viet Cong. And so they would be sitting with these pie charts, and they'd be looking every day at chart after chart and trying to see, are we killing as many Viet Cong as we need to kill to win the war? Unfortunately for the Americans, the North Vietnamese generals were sitting down and saying, well, what sort of war do we want to fight? Well, we want the Americans to try and kill as many of us as possible. Because they were looking at numbers that said every year 200,000 young men would turn 16, which meant that they could fight in the North Vietnamese army. Every year for about the next 15 years, they were getting 200,000 fresh recruits who would join the North Vietnamese army, be trained by the North Vietnamese army, and then would sneak into the South through something called the Ho Chi Minh Trail, which was a sort of a path through the jungle, wind down through other countries. They would sneak into the South, join the Viet Cong, and they would keep this Viet Cong supplied with fresh men every year. So for the Americans to hit that kill ratio, for the Americans to kill so many people that the Viet Cong just had to give up, they would have to kill well over 200,000 people every year. It couldn't be done. It simply could not be done. There is no chance in the world that the Americans could win this war pursuing that particular strategy. Westmoreland had this idea that he could grind the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese army into submission by killing. It was never going to happen. Now, some people said the way you should fight Westmoreland is to win hearts and minds. The British did this in Malaysia and countries where when they were leaving. The British gave up their empire and they were scared of communists taking over, and they had to fight wars against communists. So what they did is they tried to win over the local population before they went and make better lives for villages and people in towns and say, look, you know, if you don't become a communist, you can still have a good life, you can still have money, you can still have a better life even than the communists can offer you. And you very slowly won people over through education. You fought communist groups, of course, but your main aim was to win over the hearts and minds of the local population. And the British had used this method very, very well. Wes Warren figured that's going to take too long. American voters won't put up with it. And so his famous saying was, don't worry about hearts and minds. When you've got the enemy by the balls, your hearts and minds, their hearts and minds will follow. Don't use that quote in the exam, but it is a famous quote from Westmoreland. It'll help you remember a strategy. In other words, we'll use brute force. If we can just scare them and intimidate them and kill them in huge numbers, they'll surrender. You don't need to worry about hearts and minds. This led to his search and destroy missions, which did kill thousands of Viet Cong. It also fed into something called the Strategic Hamlet Program. And in that, it was a half-assed attempt at hearts and minds. What happened in the Strategic Hamlet Program is that people came into a village and said, right, you know, you're going to move out of this village and move to this hamlet, which will be guarded by our security guards so that the Viet Cong cannot get near you, and you'll have a better life there. Well, what happened is that people would go into these villages where people had lived for hundreds of years. Now, I mean, if you know the area of Armagh at all, and if you were to ask a man to give up a field that he'd owned for 10 years, he'd nearly have a coronary. The South Vietnamese farmers were no different. They didn't want to leave their land where their family had been for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 generations. They didn't want to leave. But they're told, you're going to leave, you have no choice to leave. American soldiers sometimes went in with flamethrowers and burnt the village down after they left. So you force the people out of their homes and into these strategic hamlets, these little villages with security gates to keep the Viet Cong away, to keep the people safe, to stop the Viet Cong from taking over their ideas. And when they got there, the village was crap. It was worse than what they left, because people were basically robbing them in the South Vietnamese army. And so people were hated the South Vietnamese government for doing this to them. They didn't like the Viet Cong because the Viet Cong were terrorists. They didn't like them either. They didn't really know who to support. But if the Americans and the South Vietnamese government had managed to win these guys over, they maybe would have stood a chance in that at least if the majority of the South Vietnamese people had said, listen, we want to be democratic. We don't want to be taken over by communists. We need America to stay. We need America to fight for us. Well, then America maybe would have stayed on. America maybe would have sent enough troops to fight. The Viet Cong maybe would have given up because they couldn't win over enough people. But instead, the people were miserable. And they looked at the Viet Cong on one side, and they looked at the South Vietnamese army and the Americans on the other side, and they couldn't see the difference between the two. As far as they were concerned, they were all terrorists. As far as they were concerned, they were all tyrants. They just wanted it all to be over. They didn't really care who won, just so long as it stopped. This was a massive mistake on America's part. 1968, the generals are still sitting around every day, and they're coming in every day with the president. They're saying, Mr. President, here's another graph showing that we're killing so many Viet Cong and North Vietnamese soldiers fighting in the South that we're going to win the war any day now. This is the important thing about Vietnam. It is the first televised war. It's the first war where people are watching on their news programs every day in color. They're seeing what's happening in Vietnam. And in January 1968, on a day when American army press officers are coming out and telling people how well the war's going and the Viet Cong are about to break and the North Vietnamese army is at breaking point, it can't support the Viet Cong anymore, the North Vietnamese army made what should have been a huge mistake. They launched an invasion of the South. It's called the Tet Offensive. Tet is a bit like the Vietnamese Christmas. It's a holiday. And there was usually a break in the fighting in and around Tet. And so this was the moment at which the South Vietnamese army was at its weakest, which the American army wasn't ready for an offensive. And the North Vietnamese sent thousands of troops pouring over the border. They had been preparing Viet Cong troops for quite some time, and so these Viet Cong units were given fresh troops from the north, and they launched a massive attack on the south. They even got into Saigon, the South Vietnamese capital. They even got into the US embassy in the South Vietnamese capital, and they got their asses kicked. The Americans handed their ass to them. I mean, they were completely wiped out and annihilated by the Americans whenever they brought their air power to bear, and whenever they brought their tanks in, they were hammered. So why was this a disaster for the Americans? The reason that this was a disaster for the Americans is even though they won that battle, they lost the war. because the American public turned on their TVs in December 1962 and heard how well the war was going and it would be over any day now. And then they turned on their TVs in January 1963 and they watched their TV and they seen this army that the American president and the American generals promised had been defeated. And this army had just marched into the American embassy in Saigon. And so at that stage, the American people looked at this and said, A, we cannot believe anything that our president tells us about this war. B, we cannot win this war. And every day they're turning on their TV sets and they're watching tanks and artillery pieces and they're watching B-52 bombers drop thousands of tons of bombs. The Americans during the Vietnam War would drop more explosives than were dropped in the entire Second World War. They would drop over 1 million tons of explosives on Vietnam. And the Americans watched this huge amount of firepower fall on Vietnam. And then they watched the army that had all this fire and hell fall down on them pick itself up and march right into the embassy, the US embassy in Saigon. And the American public thought, this war cannot be won. We cannot win it. No matter how many North Vietnamese we kill, no matter how many Viet Cong we kill, there will always be more. And in a sense, they were right. I mean, 200,000 joining every year. The North were getting a lot of support. North Vietnamese were getting a lot of support from China and from Russia. Chinese troops came into North Vietnam, not to fight the Americans, but the Chinese troops would take over duties so that North Vietnamese soldiers could go on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, sneak into South Vietnam, join the Viet Cong and help them fight. The North Vietnamese were miserable. I mean, a lot of bombing, 52,000 dead. By the end of the Vietnam War, there was a saying that you were born in the North to die in the South. A lot of these guys were teenagers who didn't want to fight either. They were being worn down. They were miserable. They wanted the war to be over too. But this fresh supply of conscripts every year, who, because they live in a dictatorship, can't overthrow their leader, meant that there was this continual supply of troops. And without the South Vietnamese people being 100% behind the Americans, there was nothing to match them. And so the Americans were actually being ground down. And what happened back in America is the peace protests began. People wanted the American troops out. During the Tet Offensive, North Vietnamese troops had got into a city called Hue, H-U-E, and they had killed thousands of civilians. And the communists were extraordinarily cruel. There are stories about communist Viet Cong coming into to schools where the children were in families that didn't want to be communist and hammering pencils through children's ears. They were extraordinarily cruel. But there were no TV cameras nearby to broadcast that back to Americans' homes. What the Americans did find out about were villages like My Lai, M-Y-L-A-I. And in My Lai, American soldiers went in and killed 500 to 600 men, women, children. These were American conscripts, kids who didn't want to be there. And they were undisciplined and they turned murderous. And so the Americans found out about that. And they seen pictures of children covered in napalm. Napalm basically is just petrol that goes on fire and you just drop it on people and it burns them. And they would see pictures of children with burning, you know, napalm clinging to their skin. And the American people wanted this to be over. The American people thought this is a war that we can't win and we're fighting it for a people who don't want us there. And the people who seem to benefit most from us being there are dictators in South Vietnam.